I tell you what, I was just savoring the Savior back there, you know. Wonderful. Just love to worship the Lord, and the Spirit's in this place today, amen. Well, as you all know, we've been in a series called The Questions That Jesus Asked. And the question today is going to be coming out of Luke chapter 18, and more specifically, verse 8. We got a lot of text to cover between then and now, but just to kind of wet your whistle a little bit, it says this. It's just a question that he asked, and he says, "But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" How many on the earth will he find who has faith? Now, chronologically, this question in this parable he asked before he faced the cross and he died for our sins and he rose again. And I think that he must have been saddened when he asked this question, because he knew what was coming ahead, right? He knew what was coming. So how many will have faith on the earth? You know, and today the question still stands: when the Lord comes, how many will have faith? How many will still have faith? Because there's going to be hard times, and each and every one of us face oppositions, and we face many enemies, right? And it seems like they want to wear us down with bad news and bad results, test results, whatever it could be. But the Lord Jesus wants you to know to never give up. Never stop praying, because he is true to his word, and he's faithful. Amen. You know, and I was sharing with one of my granddaughter's soccer teammates. They had a sectional game, and we were rooting for them, and they got down in the second half 2-0, and it just, you can almost see the air being let out of them. They were being deflated a little bit, you know, and all of a sudden, one of the opposite team kicked the ball over into their side of the field, and she was all alone with the ball, and it looked like that, you know, it was just going to be a shoe-in. Except for this one girl, her name's Amber, and she has just been, she's fierce on that soccer field, and she just took off. I mean, she just took off flat running, almost full length of that soccer field, and she caught up with that girl. You know, she never gave up, and, you know, I thought that was commendable, you know, even though it looked like all hope was lost. No matter what, I'm not giving up. And I'm here to tell you today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what life throws at you, the Lord loves you. Don't give up. Woo! Amen. Don't give up. So today we're going to see a few contrasts in the way things happen, even amongst the Jewish people who were praying and crying out for a Messiah for over 400 years. Then Jesus comes on the scene. And if you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 6, we'll just read a few verses there. And it says that, say amen when you're there, if you got your Bibles along. Okay. It said, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and all the power to perform such miracles? Listen to this, though. Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph, and his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and to heal them. And it says this in verse 6, and he was amazed at their unbelief. You know, I don't know what happened in our society, but I remember growing up, people who were successful, people who worked hard and did things to help people, they were sought, they were highly thought of, weren't they? They were honored. Now it seems like if people in our country are highly successful in business and in philanthropic work, that somehow, well, they had to cheat somebody in order to get what they got. Really? What happened? How did that shift take place? You know, instead of his townspeople being amazed and I don't know, happy for the work that Jesus was doing in his own hometown and all throughout the countryside, instead of being amazed and happy about that, they scoffed and said, well, isn't this Joseph and Mary's son? He's just a carpenter. Well, I don't know about you, but I've seen some carpenters who do some pretty amazing things, right, Virgil? But see, they couldn't see the Messiah standing right in their midst because all they could see was his humanity. That blocked them from being able to receive all that they had been crying out to the Lord for. Their lack of faith, their unbelief, that thwarted them from getting the fullness of all that God wanted to have for them. And so many times, I feel like in our own lives, we are that way. And maybe it's not because we don't believe that Jesus can do it, but maybe we believe that we're not worthy. Maybe we think that God could never do anything like that for me because I'm too far gone. I'm too far lost. Well, I want you to know that the Lord, you're not too far gone and you're not too far lost. Just believe. Just believe. You know, and you look at that and you think, man, how could they have not saw what Jesus was? Well, then we contrast that to Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, and we see this Roman centurion, you know, and their God was supposed to be their Caesar, right? But this guy here, he was a little different. And I want to tell you something, that most Jews hated the Roman occupation. They were crying out for their Messiah to come, and they thought the Messiah would come and that they would overthrow the Roman occupation of Israel, and that the Messiah would establish himself as king in a political or a military role. But when our Messiah came, he wanted to be king of our souls and king of our hearts and king of our lives. It wasn't about a military takeover or anything like that. So we have this, in Luke chapter 7, we have this Roman centurion, and I'm just going to read it here. Chapter 7, verse 1, it says, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum, and at that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. And when the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some of the respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and to heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said. For he loves the Jewish people, and he even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house of the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you're at, and my servant will be healed. Then he said this, listen to me, the Roman centurion, he was an officer in the Roman military. He commanded 100 men. And whatever he said, he just knew it was going to be carried out because he had that authority over his men. There was no disobedience in a Roman military, all right? So he says this. He says, I lost my place. I know this because I am under authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go. Or come and they come, and if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, they were amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. Can you see the contrast in the faith? This Roman officer who was not supposed to follow Jesus or believe in him, he knew who Jesus was, and he had authority. He knew that Jesus had authority, supernatural power, to do things that he couldn't. Even as a highly respected Roman officer in the most powerful military in the world, he submitted himself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He humbled himself before Jesus. He said, "I'm not even worthy to come into your presence. I'm not worthy. But you just say a word, and all heaven and earth will move, and my slave will be healed." Those people in his hometown said, "Well, who's this guy think he is?" This Roman officer says, "I know who you are. I know who you are. And I put my faith and my trust in your authority and in your power. Just say a word and it'll be done." And you know what? It was. It was. It was done. Mercy. I want that kind of faith. Just say a word, Jesus, and it'll be done. Because sometimes I think what gets in the way of our faith is our own abilities. "Oh, I'll just do it myself." Well, what happens when you can't do it yourself? What happens? You got to put your trust in the Lord. Now we're going to get to the main text that we're studying, and at the end of this text is where that question came from, and it's Jesus talking about an unjust judge and a widow. And you know, I thought about this a lot, and and I kind of, you ever try to put things in perspective in your own life and your own household? You know, how many of you guys, especially you husbands, you know, it used to be a meme on Facebook. He says, "You don't have to keep nagging me all the time," because, how was it, something? He says, "Just let me know every once every 6 months or something." You know, sometimes our spouses can be pretty persistent in wanting us to do something, right? My wife, I don't know about you, but I just turned 65 the other day, so I'm a Medicare recipient, and I'm supposed to go and do all this paperwork. We've been together for close to 45 years now, honey, something that way. And even before we were married, because I worked out of town all the time, I didn't get home in time to cash my checks, so she got my paychecks. So I haven't seen a paycheck for 45, well, I'm retired now, I still don't see no checks, but I haven't seen any checks for over almost 45 years, because she always took care of it. She's been faithful steward of our finances, and she takes care of all the paperwork, everything, even my health care and all this. But there's certain things that I have to do on my own, and she wants me to do on my own, and I have been procrastinating, and she just keeps, "Did you get that done yet? Did 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 you get that done yet?" She never gives up. And you know what? It gets done. Well, this is kind of the backstory on this particular text here. So let's just get with it. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. "One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up." Remember that. You should always pray and never give up. Never give up, Sharon. Never give up. He said, "There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute over with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or I don't care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request." I love you, honey. Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" You know, and you take in context of this unjust judge, he was no one that feared God, and he didn't care about what people thought. And this context of this scripture kind of reminds me of what it was like in Psalm 55 when David was crying out. Do we got that up there somewhere? Yeah. "But I'll call on the Lord, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night I'll cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. He ransoms me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me." So we see, you know, clearly the Jewish people that Jesus was speaking to probably knew that psalm and had heard that before. I cry out to the Lord morning, noon, and night, and the Lord will rescue me. This woman, a widow woman, going up against a judge. And a judge was, for that area, had the final say in everything. What he said went. He made a decree or an order, and that was to be followed. But in this case, he wasn't doing anything. You know, he was a powerful man, and he was up against one of the most helpless people in that society at that time, a widow. Because if a widow had no family, if she didn't have any sons or daughters, she was basically destitute. Didn't have anybody. She didn't have no husband. Her husband had passed away. So this woman was clearly hurting. And she was in her desperation crying out to this judge, "Grant me justice, grant me justice, grant me justice." Every day she would show up in his court crying out to him. And she was persistent. She never gave up. So in the end, he was granted that justice. And you know, this judge probably, because of the Roman occupation, he was probably appointed by Roman governors and stuff. And they were probably some of the most corrupt people that there was. I don't know if you remember back in Acts chapter 24. We got that up there. Acts chapter 24, we see the Apostle Paul in prison, and he goes before Felix. And, you know, it says there that he was sending for Paul, and as they listened, they listened to him about faith in Jesus Christ, and as he reasoned with them about righteousness, self-control, and the coming day of judgment, Felix got scared, so he sent him away. And he says, "I'll send back for you when it's more convenient." But look in verse 26, it says, he also hoped that Paul would bribe him. So, you know, he sent for him quite often and talked with him. He was more interested in getting a bribe than he was hearing what Paul said, is what he was getting at, I think. So this judge here, understanding that this is a poor widow woman, she has no money, she has no means to offer me a bribe, so why should I, rule in her favor? There was no gain for him to do that. The only gain he had was because he wanted to not hear, "Give me justice, give me justice, give me justice," every day, you know. So the Lord, he's not like this unjust judge. Our Lord is a loving God. And he wants to hear from his people. He wants us to depend on him fully for everything because he loves you. He wants what's best for you. Jesus says, I come to give them life and come to give it to them to the what? Full. He comes to give us life. He wants us to trust him. You know, and as I used to tell the guys in the jail, I said, you know, I used to be one of those guys that when I'd get in a bad situation, whether it's when I was a police officer and we had a dangerous situation, a shooting or something we were going into, or domestic disturbances were really bad too a lot of times. You never knew how those were going to turn out. And even though I wasn't following the Lord and wasn't walking with the Lord like I should at that time, boy, every time I was in that police car and we had to go to one of those situations, I was praying. You know, and the Lord to get us through that, he was faithful. I'm still here living amongst you today. Don't got no holes in my body. He's faithful. And I tell the guys and the ladies in jail, you know, so many times, the only time the Lord hears for us is in our distress. Isn't it funny how often we find ourselves in distress and having to cry out for him again? I don't know. I see a correlation there somehow. The Lord wants to hear from us. He wants us to cry out for him day and night because we're going to need him. Young people, listen to me. Listen to this old man up here. In this life, you're going to need Jesus. You're going to need him. So many times when I was out there running away from him, being rebellious and doing all the things I was doing, there were still times I needed my Jesus. I'd cry out to him. Lord, deliver me out of my stupidity. In this life, you're going to need him. And if you don't think you do, that's when you're going to need him the most. Because he's coming back. And we don't know the day or the hour. So the question remains, when the Son of Man comes, will he find justice in the earth? Or whatever, I mean, find faith in the earth. You know, the first time Jesus shared this question with his disciples, one of those 12 that was so close to him, that followed him for 3 years, think about this. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? One of his disciples' closest friends betrayed him. One of them denied that he ever knew him. They all ran away. And I think it was John Mark running away naked. They tried to grab him, and they ripped the clothes off of him. He ran away naked. They all deserted him. So the challenge today is, what about you? What about you? Because when we stand before God on Judgment Day, he's going to ask us one simple question. What did you do with my son Jesus? Did you believe in him? Did you accept him? Remember what 1 John 1:18 says, for as many as has received and believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the sons of God. Did you believe and receive, or did you reject him? Just like his hometown people did. When he comes again, will he find faith in this earth? Will he find you faithful? And Jesus, in Mark chapter 13, verses 32 and 36, he told us what it was going to be like. We don't know when the end's going to come. And then, I got it here. I'm going to read it out of my Bible. It says here that, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when this time will come, be on guard and stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by this story of a man going on a long trip. And when he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they had to do. And when he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return, he said, "You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening or midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him. Watch for him."